continue our progression through the dissertation, and of course, if I had to put a gauge, I would say we're probably about 60 to 65% through it. Within about 2 weeks, I would give you the second section, Body of Christ, the glorious Body of Christ, I should say. The church, the glorious Body of Christ. Oh my God, hallelujah. When you say safe and secure, you must be talking about the Body of Christ. When you're saying, you use the term eternal, eternity, you're talking about the Body of Christ. You're talking about eternal blissfulness, happiness, joy. You're talking about the Body of Christ. All of these things are in the locale, in the sphere of Christ. And we cannot talk about it too much. And so we shall continue, we shall exhaust many avenues. It would take throughout the essence of eternity to really deal with it as a subject matter. The new man, the new creation in Christ Jesus. All right, Elder Liberman shall be our designated reader, and we shall go to Galatians chapter 3. Yeah, we're going to read this each time. I want these verses to be indelibly impressed into your heart, engraved. Amen. Because it is so important for us to know who we are. And where we are,
yes.
So that we have some foundation to stand upon. Mm-hmm. Some portion of the essence of existence that we can fully depend upon, regardless of the things that are around us. So many things could happen, as I was saying to you early. You know, there's so many things that they can predict, and some things they cannot predict, and some things they predict and they come true. Some things, most things they predict do not come true. Amen. But regardless of the things that are predicted, we have a sure word of prophecy.
Yes.
We look into our gospel. We look into the grace contract. It's all good news.
It sure is.
Amen. It sure is. It's all assuring news.
Yes.
Amen. And all of it's in the realm of in Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we can surely sing the song, safe and secure from all alarm. Mm-hmm. On Christ the solid rock, we are foundation. All of the ground is sinking sand. Mm-hmm. All right? In the third chapter of Galatians, I'll read 26 through 29. And then after that, just for a quick review, not really a review, we're going to read through it. We've been through it. Second chapter of Ephesians. We shall look at verses, I think maybe 13 through 16. Then I want to go back to where we were, and we shall focus on Colossians chapter 3. Amen. Remember, it starts off saying concerning the sphere that we operate in, and the essence of where we dwell in. Amen. It speaks about our resurrection in Christ. and above things.
Right.
And the fact that our focus is on the above things.
Yes.
And the fact that our focus is not on the things of the earth. Amen. And I'm so glad that all the translations and
yes.
and all the commentaries agree on the fact that the second part of that second verse of the third chapter, everybody's saying the same thing. Not on the things on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Not on earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
Set not your affection on earthly things. Do not put your trust
mm-hmm.
on earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
Do not put your hope on earthly things. Do not put your aspirations on earthly things. It's the things above. And when you speak about the things above, you are speaking about the essence of Christ. And this
yes.
is why we will continue to, I mean, that's the place of security.
Glory.
That God has for all of his designees, those of the elect. Amen. The body of Christ. Amen. And I'm going to really be worried about anyone gets tired of the pastor talking about the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I hope there's nobody out there say, why don't we get on something else? Amen. The body of Christ. All right. At least I haven't kept you on Job for 5 months. All right. Oh yeah, Chuck Swindoll, he preached on the book of Job for 5 months. All right, everybody got verse 26 of the third chapter of Galatians, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Mm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male and female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
All right. Now, we've already gone through that. We just make mention that promise there is not the Abrahamic promise, as many teach. Amen. It is the promise of justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is that promise, not the Abrahamic promise. All right, let's move to the second chapter of Ephesians. And the elder there, let's go to, I don't want to get caught up this morning. I know where I want to go, and hopefully we get there. Let's begin with verse 13 and read through verse 16. And try not to comment too much on this. We've gone through this. Amen. You can get some of our earlier messages and get the details. All right? Read.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us,
mm-hmm.
having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that he might reconcile both into God in one body.
One body. One body. There's one body. The body of Christ. Right? Go ahead.
By the cross.
Manifestation by the cross.
Having slain the enmity thereby.
Having slain the enmity thereby. And of course, the Lamb of God was slain in eternity. Before creation, before the foundation of the world. In verse 15, you notice it ends with the expression, so making peace. And what is peace? In the 14th verse, the first phrase, and we've gone through this, we won't go through it again today, but He is our peace. Amen. So peace is made in Him. In that last phrase of the 15th verse here, we have the phrase, the Greek phrase, pion irenon, rendered making peace.
Mm-hmm.
It is a present participle, pion, making, which could also be rendered producing, establishing, and executing. Notice the noun irenon, the root word irene. Here we're dealing basically with its declension as it is so arranged in this verse. Irenon, peace. It depicts a state of tranquility, harmony.
Glory.
Amen. In this light, this phrase clearly indicates that it is Christ. It is Christ. It is Christ. It's Christ alone who has produced and established harmonious relationship. There can be no peace without Christ. Amen.
No.
And the peace resides in the locale, in the sphere of Christ. Amen. It is our position in His body, the church, that ensures our peace. Amen. And this is why we do not we do not get caught up in divers doctrines, amen, that are predicated on sections of the Bible that are not addressed to members of the body of Christ. Amen. There is security. There is peace. There is nothing that could ever be taken away from you that has anything to do with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. No, we don't pray that prayer that David prayed. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Amen. David was only praying in the light of the information that was available to him in the Mosaic covenant of the law, which basically stated that you try, and then if you fail, amen, you are rejected. That is the letter of the law, that is the reading of the law, that is the content of the law, the conditions and terms of it therein, but it is not the intent of the law. It was never the intent of the law that any man through its ordinances and through its perception could ever come to a place of justification, a justified position, that it was never intended that one could find security and peace through and by the law. The intention of it was that one could come to a conclusion that which is contained in the law, why it is good in itself, it will never work because of the weakness of the flesh, and as a result, one would turn from the law, even in the Jewish economy, even in those who are members are classified as in the Commonwealth of Israel, even they turn away from the law, for it is the for the reason for the new covenant of the New Testament was the all was insufficient in bringing about justification. And so that which was written in their heart, on tablets and on tables of stone, was not sufficient. And the only thing that could be sufficient even to them It's what God has written in their hearts. Amen. And so if it did not work for them for whom it was intended, it surely could not work for us for whom it was never intended. And this is why Paul said, we're not under law. Get away from the law. Amen. The law focuses on the flesh. Get out of the flesh. Remove the essence of the works of the flesh and focus on the essence of Christ. And for us, it's more than just Christ, a focus on Christ, but we focus in Christ, or in the essence of Christ. Oh my God, isn't that deep? So, this is why our concentration is in the sphere of Him. For it is in Him that we see the locale of those who were chosen and elected before the foundation creation of the world. Now let's go, the clock is moving. Let's go to Colossians right quickly, chapter 3. One of these days, maybe y'all will give me 5 hours to preach and I don't have to worry about no clock. Somebody said, whoa, what a joke. Somebody's on the floor laughing. Maybe that won't be a good idea. Because, well, actually, we don't have any high places so nobody can fall and break the neck. I started to say they gave Paul that kind of time, but somebody fell and broke his neck. Went to sleep. Amen. So maybe that's not such a good idea. All right. Everybody got chapter 3 for the sake of time. Oh my God. Let's go to verse 10.
Hallelujah.
Elder Reed, well, just read verse 10 this morning. I'm going to try to. Oh Lord, there's so much. Verses 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, we will deal with that in the second part. As I said, maybe in a couple of weeks, hopefully, I'll be handing you the second part, the second section of the document, The Glorious Body of Christ, the Church. And in it, we will deal very, very, very minute details, not expansive wise, because if I did, the document would get too large. But there are some practical everyday things here that we're going to deal with concerning our function in the body of Christ. But what I want to focus on is that we get the absolute understanding of what it means to be in Christ. What it entails. It's critical.
Lord.
It's critical to understand these things. Because there are too many things that are coming against us and confronting you.
That's right.
The tests, the trials. Wow. Even the things that come to testify against everything that you think you know in Christ. Mm-hmm. And you have to have something to combat those things.
Yes,
thank God.
Yes, you do.
Yes, Lord.
The failures that we have, all of us, and this is critical information. All right, Elder, read that 10th verse.
Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him.
All right, now, here again, as we focus on the 10th verse, and there are some aspects that we have dealt with, and I won't go into that because the clock is just moving too fast for me this morning. But as we look at the 10th verse, we look at the entity of the new man, fully defined. Hopefully we understand now that he's not the old man made over. He's not the old man reformed. The new creation is not the new you dressed up. Like they used to teach, it was long dresses. Of course, they put most of the emphasis on the women. You're a saint now, you know. And they you know, it wasn't just in the certain one denomination. You had other denominations. One in particular where they covered the woman up to the point, the only thing you could see was her face. I'm talking about in the Christian religion. I'm not talking about the Muslim. They did that too. But what color suit you wear, clothes that you wear, it's a matter of taste. I don't think you're going to see me coming in here with certain, but that's just a matter of taste. That has nothing to do with, you know. Any of these brothers decide to come here with a yellow suit on, I mean, that's them. You know. Amen. We're not going to say such as backslid out of the church or whatever, you know. Amen. I hope you one of your brothers come here. Amen. Looks rather attractive on women, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
Very attractive. Amen. Yeah. The pink there. Yeah. Yeah. Don't y'all listen. Hallelujah. But it's no form,
right,
or no image of the old man. It's no form or image of humanity. That's not what the new man is. Didn't we just read it?
Mm-hmm.
The new man is the image of Christ.
That's it. Amen.
It's the image of Christ. It's what it is. It's the image of Christ. Amen. So when we look and we see him fully defined,
mm-hmm,
what he is, it removes the stigma that many have attached in certifying the status of one's salvation through the manifestation of outward actions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is confusing to those who do not understand that the new man is complete in Christ, but he is yet dwelling in a fleshly body upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It is only in this sense that we view continuous spiritual maturation and development as it relates to the individual believer. The implication is that the new man is closely associated with the mind,
mm-hmm.
Amen. For there can be no other plausible conception of spiritual and intellectual growth apart from the mind. So when we're speaking of the new man, we're in the spiritual realm of things. In this verse, verse 10, again, I'm going to go to a little bit of Greek. I've got to do it. The Greek participle, anakeromion, is rendered, is being renewed. We were dealing with this a couple of weeks ago. I just want to hit on it again. Is being restored. It is in regards to reflecting the new position. It is not the new man who is continuously renewed, but the mind of the believer through the knowledge of God's word.
All right.
Here we have the present tense here indicates that this renewing is a continuous process that begins when believers are manifestly saved and continues throughout their lifetime. Here the key word is identification. It is not a matter that the new man himself is being renewed.
Right.
It is the fact that we, amen, are renewed in the mind and identifying with the new man who is already complete. Amen. He's not on his way there.
No.
He is there. Because on any given day, if you are under the illusion that the new man is the old man reformed, then when you basically have a good day, you're going to feel pretty good about the new man. And then when we have bad days, oh yeah, we have bad days. I have plenty of them. We have bad days, then we will be troubled about the new man. We will wonder about him. We won't be too sure about him. Amen. But if we keep it into the identification mode, we'll know that whether we have a good day or a bad day, that the new man is all right. In this sense, as we focus on the renewal process, note that it is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who is producing the spiritual renewing of the mind. Here we have the passive voice, which means that which is happening to us.
Glory.
So it's the Spirit of God through the utilization of His Word. His Word.
Yeah.
That it is the Word of God that daily functions to mature the mind of believers. Note again, passive voice. It depicts exclusion of all self-effort, all which could effectively cast out the works of the flesh. In other words, it casts out the doctrine of asceticism, in which we are writing a little piece on that too, but basically it is the doctrine of self-working, through the efforts of the flesh, self-discipline, self-righteous. Amen. Righteousness is great, and discipline is certainly that which we need. Amen. But you got to move it out of the realm of self. Amen. You can't do this. This has to be done to you. The Greek phrase is epinosine. It's rendered unto a perfect knowledge. It describes the methodology employed in developing a spiritual mind in the believer as he matures. Notice, as we have had dealt with in Ephesians 4:24, hold this a second, let's run there right quickly, and then we'll bounce right back to this. Elder, read that right quickly when you get to it. Hold on a minute. We have pages. In fact, I'm even turning mine. It's so important. Because these scriptures have been misapplied, and they have become the basis of whole denominations, of religious organizations, amen, practicing self-denial, self-this, self-that, claiming that by doing this, we are making the new man, we are the new man, and therefore we have been given power to do this and that and the other, so forth and so on. Amen. That's okay if you're speaking in the realm of identification with the new man. Amen. But the new man is built by Christ in eternity. Verse 24, read it. Everybody got to say amen. Read.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Okay, now again, we have an aorist infinitive, and of course, those who have been dealing with the English grammar, that's good. I hope that everyone grabs some material and go back through it, so that when we talk about these various parts of grammar, that we have, we're all on the same page. And of course, again, I said to you, grammar is so very important. It is the difference between understanding what is said and misunderstanding what it said. Now, here, when the translator here is saying that you put on the new man, that is giving the inference that this is something that you are doing. And there's nothing there to underline it. And here, what basically you have an aorist infinitive. Infinitive is a verb or what?
Noun.
Okay, the aorist tense is what?
Past completed action.
So you don't have to do something that's already been done. But here we are. This is dealing with identification of that which is done. Again, it is after, according to God. Oh my God. Just look at the grammar here. Everything that's here will give you the impression of that is something that you got to do. It's something that you got to accomplish. Amen. First of all, you got the passive voice. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You've got an aorist participle here. Amen. That the creation of the new man is a past completed action. So you're not on your way to being righteous, you are righteous.
Hallelujah.
Glory. And you don't have to try to be holy. You are holy. Holy means to be separated. He did it in eternity when he chose you. According Ephesians 1 and 4, as he chose you in him when?
Before
creation, being holy. Now, I know there are no gerunds in the Greek. Amen. And so they stick that to be in there. But that is present, which means carries the present tense. Which means that it is conveying the fact that you are holy, or at the same time you are chosen, you are made holy and blameless. Because how could he choose you and not make you holy and blameless? How could he? The very fact that the very fact of him making choice separates you.
That's right.
Huh? The instant you were chosen, you were separated. Amen. I'm trying to get you to see that the new man is complete. Amen. He's set. He is not being operated on.
No.
What is being operated on is your mind.
Woo.
To identify with you.
Glory to God.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. And see, if you have this kind of information on a given day when you mess up, you're going to say, oh Lord, I'm not a Christian anymore. I'm not saved anymore. Oh my goodness, I don't deserve it. I've had people tell me, well, I know I haven't been doing right, so I didn't feel like, you know, coming to church and being around the saints until I get myself together. Amen. Amen. If you know this, you won't fall into that. Oh man, it's complete. All that you will ever be in the essence of Christ, in the body of Christ, you already are. Amen. The maturation does not entail evolving into the new man. Maturation entails evolving your mind, that is, evolving and identifying with it.
Yeah.
You understand that? It's very important. So no matter what goes down out there, amen. This thing is not about you. This thing is not about time, except you identifying with it. This thing is about what he did in eternity. He placed you into the body of Christ. So there's no such thing as jumping into the church and out of the church, in the church, out of the church. Boop, 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 boop. No.
Hallelujah.
Such thing. Oh my God. They messed this thing up. Got people walking around here who are saved as they're ever going to be saved, thinking that maybe they're not. I hope that nobody that sits under this ministry, under any illusion, if the Holy Spirit has witnessed to
your spirit
that you are children of God, as we have read in other passages, then just rest in it. Rest in it. We all got struggles. You show me anybody in here this morning that's not struggling. I have some kind of struggle.
That's it.
You know. And of course, I won't be a pastor to stand before the people like I'm just sweeping through and I just got it all. And No. Some of these fellas, when I used to hear preachers preaching, man, they sound like they got it so much together until I almost felt like crawling under the pew. Because I knew what I was going through. I knew my struggles. Only to find out that rascal was putting on. No. Now, this doesn't come in order to give us a license to do nothing.
No.
You just live and be depraved and you will do everything that you think you're big enough to do. But by and through the renewing of the mind, you will grow and you will mature as you identify with what he has already done. All right, let's go back to Colossians. The pastor, you got us going all over. Say, yep. So, again, as we look at verse 10, we note in this phrase, the Greek rendering kat ikonatu kritisinda afton is rendered corresponding to the image of him who created him. Follow me now. This expression gives description to the essence of what the new man is likened unto. That is, he is in essence created in the likeness or the image of the one who brought him into existence, which is the new creation. That is Christ.
Yes, yes.
This statement couldn't possibly be evincing a replica of Adam before the fall. And I think this is where we're going to end up this morning. Adam. We all know who he is.
Yep.
Huh? We all feel him every day.
Mm-hmm.
We all relate to him every day. Adam.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He is defined by depravity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, contrary to what some teach, even in Adam's state of innocence, as the first man, there is no basis for this conferment in that he is designated out of the earth. So what we are saying is, if we're speaking of the new man, he is a replica of Christ. And the replica of Christ, or anything in Christ, does not have its origin in the earth. Even John says in another gospel, he is on earth, but he cometh down from heaven, from above. Follow me now. I tell you what, turn with me, and here's where we're in today. Turn with me to First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. It would be hard to come here and follow me if you don't have a Bible. Amen. Some sections, places you can come because they're going to read one or two verses. They're going to give you a subject and then you're going to stand up and give each other high fives. And then you don't have to open your Bible or worry about it anymore. If you don't have your Bibles here, you won't be able to follow. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Let's begin with verse 45. Now, sometimes they preach this at funerals. And actually, this is not a funeral message. This is not a, you know, it's good to know homecoming wise, but this is great to know right now. Amen. 45 down through 40. Oh Lord, look at that clock. 15:45 through 48. Well, let's through 49.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45.
Everybody got it? Say amen. All right, read.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly.
Such as the earthly, such are they also that are earthly.
Yes.
Read.
And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly.
So the earth is earthly.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to come back to this next week. The earth is earthly and the heavenly is heavenly. So the heavenly is not the earthly and the earthly is not the heavenly. Can y'all understand that? We crisscross in here. You know? This is why you have Adam earthly, Christ heavenly. Follow me here. Oh Lord. Read that 49th verse.
Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Now here, oh my God. Isn't that something? It's right there and we miss it. It's right there, and somehow it just goes right by us. Denominations with rules and regulations, and you can't do anything with Adam. Let me repeat that. There's not a thing you can do with Adam. As far as fashioning him into a replica of the new man, of the new creation. Nothing. You see, in our minds, we identify with the heavenly, the new man who is the image of Christ.
Yes, yes.
Not the old man who is the image of Adam.
That's right.
And in the man, we identify with him and we seek to imitate him, but we're never under the illusion that we can replicate him. Now, let me say that again. So we understand the process. What is the process of maturation? The process of maturation is through the mind identifying with what we are in Christ, in the spiritual realm. And what that does is that works out that we begin to try to imitate him. And that is fine as long as we do not get imitation mixed up with replication.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
You know, some days we feel pretty good about our actions, don't we? Yeah, we do. And then other days, man, I didn't know this was in me.
Yep.
Oh, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And then the first thing that will happen if you don't get the difference between invitation and replication
mm-hmm.
is that when Adam does what Adam does, and I'm here to tell you that from time to time, Adam does what Adam does.
That's what he does. That's what he does.
And depravity will come out.
It will.
Do we glorify? No. Do we magnify? No. Do we make excuses for it? No. We just realize that he is not the essence of who we are. Let me hit this now. Give me about 6 to 7 minutes. Oh, Lord. Y'all sure you can't give me 2 hours this morning? I'm just kidding. All right. Notice again what we're saying. That even in the state of his innocence in the garden, because we have been taught that Adam in the garden was holy, he was righteous. We have been taught that he was the replica of the new man. No! The new man can't fall. The new man can't fail.
You preach it, preach it.
He who is in Christ is complete. The new man can't sin. It's the old man.
Yes, Lord.
And see, we get
mixed up
of trying to represent the new man with the old man, and then when the old man sins, we figure that something is wrong with the new man. But nothing's wrong with the new man. Oh my God.
Hey.
Even as he was in the garden, he wasn't perfect. He was untested and untried, but he wasn't perfect. God wasn't created perfect. That which is created perfect cannot sin, cannot fall. There is no basis for this conferment. And as we read here in the 47th verse, again when he is read, he is designated out of the earth, earthly. Just the fact that he's out of the earth, earthly, let you know that he's not perfect. In stark contrast, as I close today, the image of the new man, a new creation, evinces a replica of the second man, who is designated the Lord out of heaven. Let's look at verse 47 again. First man, earthly. The second man, heavenly. So it's not the first man who is the new man. It's the second. Ooh, y'all hear me? It is the second man.
Second, amen.
Not the first man. It is the second man. You get that?
Yes. Thank you.
And it says,
thank you, Jesus.
We shall bear, in verse 49, I'm jumping around, I know that. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. It didn't say we shall bear the image of the earthly. He is the one we are being delivered from. That's what being saved means. It means getting rid of. We shall, oh my God, hallelujah. Eternity, we're not in Adam, we're in Christ. This is consistent with the conveyance of 1548, which reads, as is the earthly, such are they, or such are the earthly, and is the heavenly also, that is what is heavenly. So such as the earthly, such also are those who are earthly, and such as the heavenly, such also are those who are heavenly. Note God's sovereign purpose in Genesis, the new man, the new creation, confirmed in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's what they're talking about in that 24th verse. I'm not going to go back to it. Our time is out today. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You gotta take these verses and compare them and see what they're talking about. Now, my final statement this morning, this is not possible in the physical sphere. And that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul in the 45th verse. This is only accomplishable in the spiritual realm, wherein the last man, Adam, that is Christ, was a life-giving spirit in the 45th verse. As the spiritual, we'll take up here next week, as the spiritual was not first, but the natural, I got to go out next week, I explain that. Oh my God. As the spiritual was not first, but the natural, then the spiritual, speaking concerning the order of God's decree. Amen. What is the order of God's decree? This is speaking of the order of God's decree, and my time is out this morning. And so why are we taking so much time on this? Why are we spending weeks and months going over this again, back and forth. Why aren't we talking about some of the issues? I thought this is an election year, and why aren't we, social these speaking? There are that many issues and things. Why aren't we focusing on those things? Why have we put blindness on as far as Sunday morning messages? Now we do have a men and women's fellowship. That's headed by Elder and Sister Liberman, and they do a very good job. And I certainly encourage you to go and each month, first Saturday, and participate. And there's much to be gleaned there. But we only have 1 hour on Sunday morning, or less, or more. We must prioritize what we're talking about, where our focus is. What is the priority? Is it the earthly day-to-day things that are around us, or is it the heavenly eternal things that shall never end? See? And so, at the risk of being out of touch and irrelevant to not maybe speaking to needs of what some feel their needs might be, we dare to follow the text. We dare to follow the dictates of our contract that focuses in the eternal realm of dealing with those things that transcends the daily activities and the daily events that surround us and the things that are coming, that are going. Because anything can happen out there. Anything. Within the next 10 years, there are going to be so many drastic changes in the world and in the earth. And We don't know what's going and what's coming. Amen. And we want to feel secure. We want to feel safe. And we cannot feel safe in the sphere of time and in the workings of the praise creation. And if we are going to have joy unspeakable and full glory, and if we are going to have peace that passes all understanding, and if we, amen, are going to live lives of happiness and bliss, we must come out of the Adamic nature and out of the Adamic creation and dwell in the sphere. Oh my God, of their God have given us peace and joy and tranquility and happiness and hallelujah. All of these things. And our aim is not the essence of what the stock market is going to do, or what the economy is going to do, or the political spectrum, and why these things are okay to a point to dwell in and to deal with as we pass through. Our hope must be in Christ, an eternal hope. As Sarah Liberman had us reading in Sunday school this morning, that our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Our aim is in Christ. Our happiness is in Christ. And what are we looking for? Our candidate to get in? No. Our candidate stays in. Ooh, hallelujah. What are we looking for? Amen. The economy to improve? That would be fine. But that's not our other aim. Amen. But I like the song that they sing. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. And I'll be caught up. Can you say caught up? Can you say caught up? To meet him in the air. One day, I'm going to take off mortality. I'm going to put on immortality. I'm going to take off the essence of time and move into the essence of eternity. One day, I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. And so forever, we shall be with him. That is our hope, and that is our happiness, and that is our peace. God bless you.
Glory to God.